King of the Worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. You can watch today's program by going to Progressive Radio Network Facebook, as thousands do. Today, we're going to learn about how dietary energy intake and nutrition are important for the prevention of skeletal muscle loss, especially in cancer survival. This is from the University of South Korea. I have probably 12 good articles that we scan the world scientific literature, always from peer-reviewed journals, always from respected institutions, that are not covered by the mainstream media. Why? I have no idea. But we do cover them. So every single day, year in and year out, decade in, decade out, you're going to get new information on a daily basis. Then today, continuing with our series of original investigative reports challenging the legitimacy and objectivity and fairness of Wikipedia to represent anything other than very radical views. In fact, we now have, and you're going to hear it today, we have someone inside high up in Wikipedia that we've been speaking with in depth, who has presented us with information in depth, and who has captured all their internal conversations so that even if they erase them all today, we already have them. So listen up to this particular story today, because we're using Deepak Chopra as just an example with brand new information of how they've tried to destroy his reputation without ever questioning him, without ever having a conversation. And you're going to hear some unusual things. That's just the first part of our program. We begin by taking a look at the latest on health and healing. And sarcopenia is a progressive disease characterized by loss of skeletal muscle mass and strength and function. It's commonly associated with aging, generally over the age of 40. People begin to see some crepey skin, sometimes on the neck with multiple folds, sometimes on the knees, where for about 6 inches above the knee, you start seeing the skin is not tight anymore. The elastin, the collagen, is no longer has tensile strength. Under the arms, around this area, you'll start seeing that crepey skin. Around the shoulders, especially people who've been out in the sun, you'll see the skin is almost leathery, and there's very little hydration in it, even if they're drinking adequate water. And that's why you should be using coconut oil, for example, because that seals the pores in a healthy way and traps the water so that you have some hydration in all this area. But unfortunately, as people age, and since they generally don't do a lot of things proactively to prevent the aging process, they suffer from what we call the conditions of aging. It's not the conditions of aging. Rather, it's conditions of inappropriate choices creating premature aging. So in any case, one of the worst groups to be affected by muscle loss are cancer patients. They end up with what is known as cachexia, wasting away, become skeletal, very gaunt. And being very gaunt and thin-necked can make you look much older than what you are. But then they lose strength as well. Now, mind you, there are no pharmaceutical treatments available for sarcopenia present, only basic interventions such as resistance exercises, protein supplementations, and vitamin D administration are used to address this debilitating disease. And by the way, sarcopenia has many causes. Cancer or chemotherapy are among those. But the most common and preventable factors are the lack of exercise and poor nutrition. Older adults, meaning over the age of 40, spend most of their time doing sedentary activities, and even more so today with younger people. They're not getting out school as we used to, for those of us who are baby boomers, and play. There's almost never recess in most of the modern schools, and there's very little green time where you can go and play and run and scream and have fun in the woods. Instead, people are always head down, glued to that little screen, or at home, glued to a larger screen, or television, or working. So this means that our body does not have a healthy circulatory system. We end up with intermittent claudication, pains in the muscles and the calves. We end up with little splotchy purple veins in the ankles and the feet. And we have reduced circulation to the brain, which can cause all forms of problems. But this lack of physical exertion speeds up muscle breakdown and dysfunction, which eventually leads to sarcopenia and osteoporosis. Insufficient consumption of protein and other nutrients also contributes to the loss of muscle mass, as proteins are necessary for the growth of muscles. Now, you should have protein approximately 3 times a day. Ideally, in the morning, you'll have about 1/3 of your body requirement. For example, each morning when I get up and after I exercise and when I'm ready to go to work, I make a shake, and in the shake, just some of the nutrients I put is 1 big scoop, sometimes 2 scoops of protein from plant-based sources. And I generally get about, let's say, 35 grams of protein. And because I exercise a great deal, and I'm about right now, about 180 pounds at nearly 6'2", I need about, for the type of exercise I do, and my age, I need about 70 grams protein a day, more or less. But the average person, especially women who have ability very easily to accumulate fat and expand their fat tissue, should be extremely conscious of the type of fat and how much goes in the body, the type of protein and what the quality of the protein is. And therefore, 1/3 of that comes with breakfast. Throw it in your shake. It's immediately digested. You get maximum absorption because your body doesn't have to digest it. There's not like eating meat, for example, which might take 5 or 6 hours, depending upon your age and the amount of hydrochloric acid to break down. In any case, that's breakfast. Now, at lunch, you can have, let's just say, for example, you're eating a healthy vegan plate. You're going to have some beans. There's about 7 to 10 grams of protein, depending upon the bean, and some brown rice or quinoa. There's another 7 grams of protein, and maybe you'll have some nuts and seeds throughout the day as snacks, another 4 to 5 grams of protein. So you see, it's not difficult as a vegan to have all the protein that you need. But in this case, the study points that to nutrition and dietary energy intake as possible considerations for preventing and treating sarcopenia. So that's what was done, and it worked. So have a healthy plant-based diet. This was published, by the way, in the Journal of Nutrition Research. And exercise on a daily basis, anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour. And also supplement with creatine, C-R-E-A-T-I-N-E, and vitamin D. They work well together. By the way, creatine effectively aids in muscle development when coupled with resistance training. And vitamin D is important for maintaining muscle strength and physical performance. I also use D-ribose, generally 2 to 3,000 milligrams is very important. And glutamine is extremely important, generally 3 to 4,000 milligrams. So those are the things you take as you age to keep good muscle mass. Higher chocolate intake is associated with longer telomere length among medical college students. And this is in the College of Augusta University. What do I mean? I mean, chocolate intake has been shown to improve our heart, lipid profiles. It helps prevent heart attacks. And that means you're also going to have longer leukocyte telomere length. And so that's important. Healthy, sugar-free, dairy-free chocolate, raw chocolate would be best. And then you're going to have better lifestyle, and you reduce the clinical risks of heart disease. And that's a good thing. And you increase cellular aging in its length. You're going to live longer. A new study finds compassion is at the heart of love. This is the University of Nottingham. The research by psychologists at the University of Nottingham, published in Royal Society of Open Science, showed that men choose to display their compassion side rather than their punitive side when looking for love, and women prefer men who are compassionate rather than punitive. This preference for compassion over punishment is stronger for those with more humanistic values and more, their ideology is more, let's say, progressive, and they are more empathetic. So that's important. Now, you don't want a drone sergeant, as a partner, because they may lack those qualities that are important in harmonizing love. Not that they can't love, it's just depends upon if they can turn off that energy and rebalance it with some energy that's more romantic and kind, thoughtful. That's important. We just don't have enough of that compassion energy that's being shared today. If you look around the world, we're really lacking in that. Saffron, S-A-F-F-R-O-N-N, is just as effective as Ritalin in managing symptoms of ADHD. This is a study from Turin University of Medical Science. Saffron, which is Crocus sativus, is gaining a lot of attention, not just as an herb, but also as a natural treatment for brain health, including ADHD. In a recent study published in the Journal of Child and Adolescent Psychopharmacology, saffron was found to be just as effective as Ritalin in managing the symptoms of ADHD, and that is exceptional. So when you compare saffron, which has no adverse side effects, has wonderful benefit to the body, and then you compare it to a drug that has, like Ritalin, that has multiple side effects, well, we should be taking the saffron, not the Ritalin. We're over-medicating our youth, and all because saffron, by the way, and its active ingredients are said to increase the reuptake and inhibition of dopamine and norepinephrine, two neurotransmitters that help with attention and focus. So if you want to calm down and really focus, mindful meditation helps, but also saffron, and that's important. And another study shows the Mediterranean diet is associated with better cognitive function in older adults. This University of Maine. What do I mean? I mean the adherence to a healthy Mediterranean diet has been associated with less cognitive decline over 5 years in older adults. That's according to this study. It was also done at the University of South Australia as well. And it was published in Nutrition Neuroscience. And it examined the relationship between the Mediterranean diet and adhering to it strictly, and cognitive function in a group of people. And researchers have found that participants who reported consuming a higher intake of foods associated with the Mediterranean diet, meaning olives, olive oil, fruits, vegetables, legumes, whole grains, red wine, and fish, experienced lower rates of cognitive decline in visual, spatial, organization, and memory, and that's an attention. All those are important. Also, a study finds a link between your gut bacteria and muscle strength. This is from Nanyang Technological University in Singapore. Now, on a dozen occasions just in the last month, I've talked about the microorganisms, meaning the good bacteria living in the intestines, and now we know from this study that that can help with muscle growth and function. That opens up an enormous amount of positive insights into how we can intervene in age-related skeletal muscle loss. And this was an international research team, Technological University, Singapore University, they all participated. So have healthy gut bacteria, and that'll make all the difference in the world. By the way, France, UK, United States, Australia, Switzerland, Sweden also participated in this. The more healthy bacteria you have in your gut, the healthier your entire body, including your brain, and the less you're going to have a problem. This was published in the Peer Review Journal of Science Translational Medicine. So we should be using nature as part of the prescription for good health. Also from the Polytechnic Institute in Lisboa, which is in Portugal, acupuncture was found to reduce nerve sensitivity. In a study just published in the Journal of Acupuncture and Medicine, acupuncture was found to reduce the sensitivity of the median nerve. So that's important because then it makes you less susceptible to nerve pain and processes that can cause mechanical stress in the body, which ends up getting people to take unnecessary medications, pain medications, which can be killers, especially the opiates. Commonly used antibiotics can lead to heart problems, University of British Columbia. Scientists have shown for the first time a link between two types of heart problems and one of the most commonly prescribed classes of antibiotics. In a study published today in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology, researchers at the University of British Columbia found that current users of certain types of antibiotics, like Cipro, C-I-P-R-O, or ciprofloxacin, face a 250% greater risk of developing aortic and mitral adverse effects, where the blood backs up into the heart, compared to the patients who took amoxicillin, a different type of antibiotic. And it generally happens within 30 days. Also, why young females with obesity are at early risk of cardiovascular disease? Remember I said there is no such thing as being healthy and overweight? This is just one more example. This is from the Medical College of Georgia. Now, right now in the United States, we face a massive pandemic of obesity and diabetes, and they frequently go hand in hand. The sex hormone progesterone that helps females get and stay pregnant appears to also put them at an increased early risk for cardiovascular distress and disease. And premenopausal women are considered protected from cardiovascular disease, but evidence indicates obesity can negate those benefits and, in fact, put them at an even higher risk than men. But just how remains an unfolding mystery. Investigators have now documented high levels of a receptor for the hormone aldosterone, which can damage the vasculature in the endothelial cells that line your blood vessels. And that progesterone enables the high levels of receptor expression they found. So the study has now confirmed that females have a higher expression of these receptors on endothelial cells. Quite simply, it means that you're going to be at a greater risk of having a heart attack or a stroke, and that you don't need. So please lose the weight in a healthy way and protect yourself. There's also a new blood test for prostate cancer. It's highly accurate and avoids invasive biopsies. This was from Queen Mary University in London. In combination with the current prostate-specific antigen, or the PSA test, the new test could help men avoid unnecessary and invasive biopsies, overdiagnosis, and overtreatment. Now, prostate cancer is the most common cancer in Western men, with about 1,300,000 new cases being diagnosed each year worldwide. It's currently detected using a blood test that measures PSA levels. Although it provides early diagnosis, the PSA blood test has a high false positive level. And therefore, I would never suggest to use it by itself. This, and then they go in for a biopsy, which the majority of patients with elevated PSA levels have. And most of those biopsies are found the person doesn't have cancer. So look at the information now available on the non-invasive prostate cancer screening test. We are over 20 minutes into our program. I always start with the latest on health and healing. But now we're going to take a look, and I believe we're up to, I was told, 44 articles in just the last 16 months on Wikipedia. Why? Because Wikipedia is the fifth largest the most popular search website in the world. It's called an encyclopedia. I challenge that. I consider it nothing more than a propaganda operation. And it does not abide by its own rules, as you will see in a moment. And so now we're asking the Internal Revenue Service and the Inspector General to do a complete audit of Wikipedia. We're asking every member of Congress to do an open investigation and allow those of us who've been libeled and slandered on Wikipedia to come forward and give compelling evidence that Wikipedia does not honor any principle of fairness. And they're arrogant in the extreme, especially Jimmy Wales, who calls people who will believe in that we have a right of freedom of choice to look at alternative and complementary medicine, that includes chiropractic and homeopathy, body-mind medicine, and vitamin C drips, for example, the very things that many of us have seen thousands of people improve, even coming from death's door. And yet, Wikipedia and Jimmy Wales says, oh, that's all nonsense, pseudoscience, but it's not. So in a moment, our latest article, which is posted as of today, share it widely, share it with everyone. Why does Wikipedia want to destroy Deepak Chopra? Back in a moment with the answers. For the past 40 years, one of the most prominent and important voices for the mind-body medical movement has been Dr. Deepak Chopra. Aside from his prolific publishing career with over 80 books and a couple dozen bestsellers, he has also remained a scientist, conducting original clinical research and publishing in peer-reviewed medical journals. His efforts to validate the scientific evidence that the mind can influence the body and vice versa. Chopra was not the first to propose such a theory. Earlier, William James, in the late 19th century, promulgated the importance of subjective experience to understand the power of the mind, the power of consciousness. This trajectory continued through Harvard's Dr. Herbert Benson, who I've had on this program, and his investigations into the benefits of meditation to reduce stress responses, and later, a Stanford neurosurgeon and psychiatrist called Pribrams, an holomonic brain theory developed with quantum physicist David Bohm. Now, these pioneers were awakening the scientific community to the principles that would become psychoneuroimmunology, meaning your body can impact your nervous system, which can impact your immune system. And there are thousands of articles in the peer-reviewed literature supporting its efficacy, which showed that what a person feels and thinks can have a direct, immediate impact upon the body for better or worse. Positive thoughts, positive outcome. Negative thoughts, negative outcome. And especially now when we're in a culture where everyone feels like they're a victim and therefore spends their days justifying their dark moods and blaming, well, they're not aware that they're turning off the benefits of their immune system and actually aging themselves prematurely. And we know that now because of the work of these predecessors. Chopra is a board-certified endocrinologist and likewise contributed to his body of science through his work with the Transcendental Meditation and Indian Ayurvedic medicine. However, let's just say you're the average person and you heard about Deepak Chopra. So you want to find out his background and accomplishments. Fair enough. You would Google him and be taken immediately to Wikipedia. There you would discover that he has been completely discredited. He's a quack. He's a lunatic charlatan in the words of Jimmy Wales. That's what he thinks about alternative medicine and those who practice it. And after all, it's been proven by Wikipedia editors that Deepak Chopra engages in pseudoscience. He's not real. He's just a fraud. Unfortunately, Wikipedia would wrongfully have us believe Chopra should be cast aside and scorned. Once a person has been targeted for condemnation by Wikipedia's editors, who belong to the fringe scientific cult of modern skepticism, he or she will remain in Wikipedia's perpetual Hades. Every effort Chopra has made to correct the misinformation and lies on his Wikipedia biography have been largely unsuccessful, as has everyone else that's been targeted. They say, hey, you know, you can go in there and edit. They lie. You cannot. We've had lawyers, we've had journalists, we've had investigators try to make any simple changes. Immediately, they're reverted back. Once skeptics take control of an entry, they will protect it with the savagery of a three-headed Cerberus. What we discovered among Wikipedia skeptic edits is outrageously shocking, but not unexpected given the character of the skeptic movement. To accomplish their character assassinations on alternative medical practitioners, skeptics balance on a fine thread bordering on libel and criminal defamation. Non-conventional medical systems are treated equally harsh despite the overwhelming scientific evidence to the contrary. The Chopra Foundation's library project now catalogs over 100,000, let me repeat that, 100,000 peer-reviewed studies that provide credible scientific evidence to support alternative medicine's efficacy and legitimacy, well beyond skepticism's rationalist plausibility arguments. The skeptics more often than not just use their own biased arguments, their opinions. Well, we all have an opinion, but we all don't have the accurate facts. We have found in doing these over 40-plus articles deconstructing the myth of Wikipedia, more than 500,000 articles just in the peer-reviewed literature from the PubMed, which is the government's own repository of credible scientific articles on things like vitamin C and vitamin D and Ayurveda and acupuncture, chiropractic, homeopathy. But you would never know that if you got your information from Wikipedia and its skeptics. And increasingly, these therapies are now being recognized and accepted by physicians and clinics and medical schools. But why? Well, it's simple. Because the medical literature provides evidence of efficacy and safety for a variety of physical and mental health conditions. The question is, how is it possible that so many Wikipedia editors and Wikipedia skeptic co-founder Jimmy Wells, who is alleged, I was told, to have called Deepak Chopra one of the most dangerous people on the planet, how can they be so wrong about the reviews of the medical literature? How can skepticism's strategy to promulgate fake propaganda be justified? And what is its long-term objective? Wikipedia skeptics are not neutral editors, but they're supposed to be. Based upon the bylaws of Wikipedia, you cannot be biased and be an editor. But in fact, they have a very concise agenda. That is, we believe, to transform Wikipedia into their own self-image. They act as the final arbiters of who determine what should be deemed as authentic science and medicine and what is not. Skepticism possesses a single-minded agenda to ignite a coup d'etat in our corporate, educational, medical, and government institutions that might result in wider acceptance of its narrow, scientific materialist interpretation of reality. Skeptics hope their ideology will standardize the criteria to inform policymaking that will affect college curriculums, medical practice, research, and funding. In an ideal skeptic universe, the government would mandate with draconian measures what the public is permitted to read, what is allowed on any internet, what your doctor's allowed to prescribe. Now, we're already seeing that, aren't we? Aren't we seeing that people in California are now told, and in New York State, that it doesn't matter what your religion, no, it doesn't even matter what your health condition is, doesn't matter what your philosophy is, you have no exemptions except a tiny a number for medical. Right now, the reality is that if you've had two children who have been damaged after vaccines, you were pro-vaccines, you were damaged. One child ended up with autism spectrum disorder. Another child ended up with some form of tics and slow and defective brain function. But you have a third child, and you've decided to do your homework, and you spend 5,000 or 10,000 hours, and you come to the conclusion that you do not want to inject your child with aluminum, formaldehyde, polysorbate 80. In fact, there's not a single ingredient in any vaccine that's actually beneficial to the body, and all of them are toxic at different levels. And you're told, don't worry about that mercury. Don't worry about that aluminum. You get mercury and aluminum in the food you eat. That may be true, but less than 1% is actually absorbed into the system. The rest is excreted. When you get that same mercury injected into your body, it stays and can go past the blood-brain barrier. And we know this. So this woman says, no, I'll pass on that vaccine. Now that woman is attacked. The New York Times, the Washington Post, believe that she is now a danger, her child is a danger, to those who have been vaccinated. And they go on a rampant rage against anyone who chooses by knowledge of the consequences not to engage. And she rightly says, it's my body, it's my choice. And my daughter, it's my choice not to have a toxin in her body. There are other alternatives. And besides, measles is not a disease. It's an infection. And in the last 10 years, there hasn't been a single death, but there have been 100 deaths in measles vaccine. So I can read the literature. I'm not illiterate. Doesn't matter. Your doctor now says, it's not your body. It's the pharmaceutical companies that are backing all this and giving money to the politicians in California and New York and elsewhere to make sure it's all mandated. Oh, by the way, the very person who spearheaded the campaign in California for mandating children's vaccine is now pulling out all the stops to mandate adult vaccines with the punitive issue that if you don't get vaccinated, you can't travel and you can't even go into a workplace. We warned you this was coming, and very few people paid attention. So that's the kind of information that you would be able to get. If you Googled vaccines, you'd be taken to pages that support vaccines and condemn anyone as an anti-vaxxer who feel they don't want to vaccinate because, let's say, they were damaged. In fact, they'll turn you over to Child Protective Services. It does anything but protect the children, by the way. But that's the kind of world we'd be living in if we don't have freedom of choice. And this would also include limiting exposure and access to beliefs and ideas and medical practices. You wouldn't know that there are people successfully working with people with cancer and other conditions using intravenous vitamin drips and other therapies. You wouldn't know about hyperbaric or ozone therapies for people with, seizures. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't be given the information on cannabis oils for the brain. You wouldn't know any of this. And even consumer products such as medicinal herbs and supplements would be banned. Why? Because the skeptic clergy judges these as pseudoscience. But have they ever done a clinical study on any of these? Not that we're aware of. Do they ever see patients? Well, one's a picture hanger. 35 years hanging pictures in stores and heads a whole skeptic group and is a power on Wikipedia. So what gives that person who's a picture photographer the right to tell a person you shouldn't be doing any of the things you're thinking of doing because it's all pseudoscience? So the person says, okay, have you counseled patients? Are you a registered dietitian? No. Are you clinical nutrition? No. Do you have a PhD in human nutrition and public health science? No. Have you led 41 clinical studies? No. Have you published in a peer-reviewed journal? No. Well, exactly what do you know about the consequences of what you're suggesting? You have your opinion. Yes. But that's all it is. In a skeptic world, big tech companies would be further encouraged to censor oppositional voices. So those who have legitimate concerns and have evidence to support that, and websites questioning the safety of genetically modified foods and pesticides and fluoridation and vaccines, they would no longer have a way of sharing that information, because Silicon Valley's efforts to black out positive information about alternative medical practices and over-the-counter supplements, they would be in control of. So Jimmy Wales has already turned over the online encyclopedia to skeptic and community and permitted them to further hijack and control the discourse on health. In every sense of the word, modern skepticism, in our opinion, is a dogmatic religion with inquisitional motivations. During his 2008 TED Talk, New Atheism's guru, Richard Dawkins, ushered a call to arms for skeptic followers to launch a campaign, quote, of militant atheism, end quote. Now, many heard the call, including Tim Farley and Susan Gerbic, the co-founders of Guerrilla Skeptics on Wikipedia, to wage an offensive against religion and belief systems. So you're going to go after Islam, you're going to go after Christianity, you're going to go after Judaism, Jainism, Buddhism, which is a philosophy, Hinduism. You're going after all these because you, in your infinite knowledge as a religious scholar, oh wait, are you a religious scholar? What exactly do you know about religions? But you've been told by a person, Hawkins, that carry on against them. You're going to fight complementary and alternative medicine and anything else that lay outside of skepticism's worldview? Have you interviewed the millions upon tens of millions, hundreds of millions of patients who've been successfully treated using traditional and Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic and homeopathy, alternative medicine? Have you? Because if you haven't, to say that all this is nonsense is the height of arrogance. Since its founding, Guerrilla Skeptics publicly take pride in reconfiguring Wikipedia's pages to conform to skepticism's long-term objective. In a recent article published in the popular Skeptical Inquiry, Gerbic describes her group's operations on Wikipedia and Facebook as a highly organized, quote, secret cartel, end quote. An anonymous skeptic editors scheming together on strategies to further monopolize these websites. Well, doesn't that go against the whole purpose of being objective and not bring your biases? You have a right. Any skeptic out there, you have an absolute right to all your opinions. You do not have a right, in my opinion, to bring your bias into someone else's biography and then control that, put them into some form of gulag from hell forever, watching as people turn away from giving them contracts or wanting to associate with them. But that's the consequences. And according to Gerbic's most recent figures found on the internet, her skeptics have succeeded in creating, are you ready for this, 981 Wikipedia pages that have been accessed over 43 million times. As we have noted earlier in articles, Dr. Chopra's Wikipedia page references a literal who's who of prominent skeptic celebrities' voices, including Stephen Barrett. We've done multiple articles on Barrett to challenge his credibility. Robert Carroll, Jerry Kanye, Richard Dawkins, David Gorski, Paul Kurtz, Robert Lee Park, Harriet Hall, Sam Harris, Timothy Caulfield, Paul Offit, and the founder of the Skeptic Society, Michael Shermer. It's particularly odd that all of these individuals belong to the same club, skepticism's flagship organization, the Center for Inquiry. A reader comes upon a Wikipedia page referencing any of these individuals, it is highly certain skeptics have taken control of the entry. It is not only what skeptics write on Wikipedia in order to ridicule non-conventional medical systems and practices or to ensnare alternative medical practitioners into a virtual prison of wrongful character assassination and misinformation and lies, it is also what is intentionally left out that is equally damaging. In the case of Deepak Chopra, it is impossible to edit by adding anything positive about his achievements or enter the honors he has received during a distinguished five-decade medical career. A reader of Chopra's Wikipedia page would never learn about his numerous awards, not only as a medical pioneer, but also as a humanitarian. What is missing from Wikipedia? Well, how about the Japanese GOI Peace Award, Scripps Center for Integrative Medicine Trailblazer Award, the Einstein Humanitarian Award given by Albert Einstein College of Medicine, and the American Journal of Psychotherapy, the World Business Academy's Gold Global Consciousness Award, the Great Immigrant Honoree from the Carnegie Corporation of New York, the Medal of Presidency by the Nation of Italy, and many, many others. Nor are we informed that Chopra is a fellow at the American College of Physicians and continues to be a member of the American Association of Clinical Endocrinologists. Once skeptics target an individual to defame, truth and accuracy are cast aside, kicked out the door, and spit on. And his biography quickly becomes a malicious gossip column instead of an encyclopedia entry. All tools of deception are permissible. Recently, we had had several conversations with a scholar and former Wikipedia editor who had gone head-to-head with skeptics to edit health-related pages, including Deepak Chopra's. For 10 years, this individual maintained a neutral position, believing in Wikipedia's mission, but was eventually banned. By the way, that's a frequent tactic used by skeptics to rid their critics and opponents. Wikipedia rules require editors to maintain, quote, a neutral point of view. If external articles and studies and references are predominantly negative about a person or topic, then it is permissible to include negative comment on Wikipedia entries. In the case of Chopra, as this editor pointed out, he has a 95% rate of positive press coverage, whereas his Wikipedia page is almost entirely negative. From his early background in India and education, the only thing is accurate. Skeptics also created their own rules on subjects they consider, quote, fringe, end quote, meaning all non-conventional medical systems and therapies and therapists and clinicians that, in their prejudicial opinion, are unacceptable to mainstream science. According to this editor, skeptics who often, more often than not, administrate controversial health sites only permit negative references on subjects and individuals they oppose. Nothing positive. Wikipedia states, quote, Chopra believes that a person may attain, quote, perfect health, end quote, a condition, quote, that is free from disease, that never feels pain, end quote, that cannot age or die, end quote. Okay. Anybody reading this would find their jaw dropping. However, as our former Wikipedia editor pointed out, this is an intentional misquote with malice aforethought from Chopra's book to make him appear as a lunatic. Here's the actual quote. Quote, there exists in every person a place that is free from disease but never feels pain, that cannot age or die. End quote. What Chopra is referring to is the larger context of his book is non-localized consciousness, or if one prefers, the spirit, the soul. But this is not how skeptics framed his actual statement. Wikipedia would also have us believe that, quote, the ideas that Chopra promotes have been regularly criticized by medical science and professionals as pseudoscience, end quote. However, as noted about a review of the top 100 Google News results, they're 95% positive about Chopra. So who are these medical professionals Wiki editors are referring to? Doctors such as Stephen Ovella, David Gorski, and Paul Offit, who espouse skepticism's dogma? Okay, let's dig deeper. Wikipedia paints Chopra as an enemy of conventional medicine, yet the truth is quite opposite. His entry's opening paragraphs intentionally excludes his being a board-certified physician, thereby giving the impression that his professional standing is on the far margins of evidence-based medicine. there's a lesson here, and that is even conventional board-certified physicians who venture outside the tight parameters of the scientifically baseless skeptic cult to explore alternative medicine can be subject to skeptics' contempt. As our years of personal experience have convinced us, these are ruthless, in our opinion, and unforgiving people to go up against. Well, okay, well, we're determined, and we play by the rules of objectivity and truth in reporting. They expose a guile that competes with medieval fire-brimstone preachers calling for a crusade against infidels. One blatant example of this is Dr. David Gorski, a prominent skeptic, co-founder of the skeptic-supported science-based medicine blog, and a saint among guerrilla skeptics. For over a decade, Gorski has shown a personal vendetta against Chopra and consistently writes ferocious essays against his role as a leading international figure in the alternative medical field. Our own investigations through an array of sources provides feasible evidence of Gorski's early career in blogging venom against non-conventional medicine, including anonymously editing on Wikipedia. Eventually, he reached an administrator status before departing to focus on other skeptic propaganda efforts, all of which continue to provide fodder for the guerrilla skeptics and other biased Wikipedia editors. Gorski is adamant as a proponent of the oncogene paradigm of cancer causation in conventional medical cancer treatments. Notably, neither Gorski nor Wikipedia mention that Chopra accepts chemotherapy's role in the fight against cancer. However, at the same time, Chopra advocates strongly for conventional treatments being integrated with alternative immune-building and stress-reducing regimens, including meditation and yoga, switching to a healthy diet and supplements and traditional therapies such as Ayurvedic and Chinese medicine, etc. That is the very definition of complementary and integrative medicine, now supported by federal health agencies and an increasing number of medical schools that include alternative health courses in their curriculums. Skeptics, on the other hand, oppose all forms of synchronicity between pharmaceutical-based medicine and natural alternative treatments, which they deceptively portray as a threat to public health. Yet the oncogene theory, it's not fact, on its own grounds, no longer provides a realistic explanation for gene mutation. Increasingly, scientists agree on the role of exogenous environmental factors like toxic chemicals, radiation exposure, poor diets, stress that is chronic, lack of exercise, etc., that interfere with cellular metabolism and hence giving rise to weakened conditions whereby mutagenic genes can proliferate. Even Gorski has accepted the recent shift to reconsider a theory first proposed by Dr. Otto Warburg that cancer is fundamentally a metabolic disorder. When Angelina Jolie made her hasty decision to undergo a radical mastectomy, taking two completely healthy breasts and removing them completely, Gorski came to her defense. Quote, "I will start by asserting quite bluntly that, in my medical opinion, from the information I have available, Angelina Jolie made a rational, science-based decision. How she went about the actual mechanics might have had some less than scientific glitches along the way, but the basic decision to remove both of her breasts to prevent breast cancer associated with the BRCA1 mutation that she carried was quite reasonable and very defensible from a scientific standpoint," end quote. Really? Wow. The problem is that the evidence is not conclusive. Undoubtedly, Gorski missed a lot of research otherwise available to him. A meta-analysis of 66 published papers on the BRCA gene mutations published in PLOS ONE concluded, quote, listen carefully, "In contrast to currently held beliefs of many oncologists, and despite 66 published studies, it is not yet possible to draw evidence-based conclusions about the association between BRCA1 and BRCA2 mutation carriership and breast cancer prognosis," end quote. Wow. A later study published in Lancet Oncology looking at women 40 years and younger carrying either the BRCA, the BRCA gene, found, quote, "no clear evidence that either BRCA1 or BRCA2 germline mutations significantly affect overall survival with breast cancer after adjusting for known prognostic factors, end quote. In fact, researchers at the University of California at San Francisco found that rarely tested variations of the BRCA gene K1183R showed an inverse cancer risk when the oncogene theory became accepted in conventional medicine. It held out the promise of finally identifying certain gene and gene-related targets for the development of new cancer drugs. However, the oncogene theory, which continues to be the basis for the present course of treatment, radiation, chemotherapy, and surgery, has a long way to go before meeting expectations. This month, The Lancet, one of the most respected scientific publications in the world, published two critically important analyses of Laval University and McMaster University in Canada that highlight facts behind the pharmaceuticals' war against cancer, its failings. Both studies discovered that cancer has overtaken heart disease as the leading cause of death in 21 developing countries. Consider that among the 62 cancer drugs approved over the course of a decade, only 43% offered a survival rate of 3 months or longer. 11% offered less than 3 months, 15% unknown survival rate, and 30% offered no benefit at all. Nearly half, 45%, had severe safety risks, including causing cancer in a person with cancer. This was a joint analysis conducted by Harvard University and Imperial College London. A similar study conducted by the European Medicines Agency came to a similar conclusion. In other words, most new cancer drugs are almost useless. Moreover, the British Medical Journal's review of the lack of new cancer drugs' efficacy also noted that 69% of these drug approvals were based upon studies only conducted on surrogate markers, such as a tumor size, and therefore provided no factual information on whether the drugs actually improved patient survival rates. A further study out of the Royal North Shore Hospital in Sydney, Australia, reviewed the literature for randomized clinical trials, reporting a 5-year survival rate for 22 major cancer malignancies solely based upon cytotoxic chemotherapy in the United States and Australia. The analysis concluded, quote, the overall contribution of curative and adjuvant cytotoxic chemotherapy to 5-year survival in adults was estimated to be, you ready for this? 2.1% in the United States. Wow. That's nearly 98% are going to die. In other words, it's virtually negligible. Yet in their fierce opposition to alternative medicine therapies for treating cancer, Gorski and the skeptics in Wikipedia continue to embrace and advance this failed paradigm. The good news is that the pharmaceutical paradigm is collapsing in the eyes of the majority of Americans. Earlier this month, Gallup released its latest survey ranking how poorly regarded 25 industries are viewed by the public. Guess what? The pharmaceutical industry has now unseated the federal government and the healthcare industry to earn its honors at the bottom of the heap, with over twice as many respondents regarding it unfavorably, 58% negative, 15% neutral, and 27% positive. Therefore, should we be surprised that patients recently diagnosed with cancer are already undergoing conventional chemotherapy and radiation and who face such discouraging statistics would feel compelled to seek alternatives or look for relief from conventional treatment, severe adverse effects, or with natural remedies? Dr. Chopra and other pioneering doctors and researchers who have ventured to discover medical remedies outside the confines of the pharmaceutical paradigm should be commended for assuring patients they have options. However, if skeptics have their way, none of these alternatives would be available. As a patient, your sole refuge would be the pharmaceutical industry. And skeptics like Gorski and Novella want to assure that it's your only option. Finally, we must acknowledge that skeptic editors and administrators on Wikipedia health pages would not be so successful and get away with repeatedly violating the encyclopedia's rules of conduct and editorial parameters without having received blessings from on high. And all fingers point to Jimmy Wales, himself a skeptic and a proclaimed enemy of alternative medicine. The question we should be asking ourselves is whether it's time for our legal system to undertake a thorough investigation into Wikipedia's potentially illegal activities and intent to defame and slander innocent people practicing medicine and premeditatively misrepresenting crucial information that might benefit the lives of millions of people. Similar legal investigations are underway with Google and Facebook as the world's leader in disseminating information over the internet to millions of viewers daily. It is past time when Jimmy Wales, his Wikipedia, and skeptics need to be held accountable. I'm Gary Nall. Share this article far and wide. Thank you all for listening and watching, and have a nice day.